read this morning verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 4. This is the word of the Lord. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Or to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God's holy word, may he write upon our hearts. Let's pray again. Father, help us now, we pray, to understand. Illumine, we pray, the eyes of our understanding. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have seen, as we've begun to look at this section, 1 Corinthians 12, we've seen that our loving God, our triune God, loves diversity. We see it in the body of Christ, in those many gifts he's given by his Spirit to his people. Amazing, wonderful diversity of gifts. Now we also in this see something of his goodness and his wisdom. In fact, I thought, well, maybe I should have retitled this sermon, you know, the goodness and wisdom of God in the giving of gifts. Because that's really in view as we look at this today, how good God is in giving the gifts that he's given, how wise he is in giving the gifts that he's given to his church. And so we think on that this morning, our God in the gifting of his people, his goodness and his wisdom. The first, his goodness and wisdom seen in the giving of these gifts. We've actually thought of something on that already, but his wisdom and goodness seen in the giving of these gifts. And then his goodness and wisdom seen in the array of gifts that he gives. And then his goodness and wisdom seen in his design for unity among us by virtue of giving these gifts. So, the goodness and wisdom of God, and how we see that in how he's given gifts to us, his people, gifts to us, his church. So first of all, his goodness and wisdom is seen, we say, in the giving of these gifts. I realize we've as much as said this already, but we're going to say it again. His goodness and wisdom revealed in the giving of these gifts. Paul writes, verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So we see God's goodness and wisdom in the gifts that he's given to each one of us. And our simple point here is this: every gift is indeed a gift. If you're a child of God, he's given a gift to you. Some unique gift whereby you can serve him and with which you can serve others. He's given a gift to you. He's given a gift to me. He's given a gift to that brother or sister who's sitting next to you. So we think on that first and foremost. He's giving you a gift. A gift is a wonderful thing. We love to receive gifts, don't we? Giving you a gift whereby to serve him. And the gifts he's given were given before we ever really even thought about such a thing. And the Lord brought you to himself. I imagine you weren't thinking about how he's given you a gift. You're thinking about a lot of things when he brought you to himself, but probably not that he's given you a particular gift whereby you can serve the people of God, with which you can serve him and you can serve the people of God. So graciously he's done this before we ever thought about it. And we can see his goodness in this. Neither you nor I asked for that. We asked for salvation, and he gave us salvation, but we didn't, probably didn't ask for a gift, a particular gift. But he gave us a gift. We didn't anticipate it. And we see his wisdom in this, I think, at the same time. By which we mean this just now. He's given you a particular gift. He's given me a particular gift. And it is perfect for you. Is it not? Maybe we don't always think about this. It's perfect. How do we know that? Well, very simply because God is God. That's a good start, isn't it? I guess that answers the question. His gifts, now our gifts, when we give gifts to people, our gifts are not always perfect. We like to be, I think, careful about that, don't we? Think about a gift. Maybe you think about giving a person a gift for some time. And you reflect on it, and maybe you purchase something, and you set it aside, and you think about it for a while. You think about how you want to give that gift. But if it's especially a blessing if we think about that. Because why? Well, we want to give a gift that's just right. By which we mean it really fits the person. That's a wonderful gift. Now, that's what God has given to us. That's what he's given to you. He's given you a gift that really fits you. It is perfect. So yes, a manifestation of his wisdom, a manifestation of his wisdom and his design in you and me, by which I mean just now this, that gift that he's given fits wonderfully with how he's made you and gifted you naturally. There isn't this incongruity or the disjointedness between the gift that he gives and the way he's naturally gifted us. And really, when we're saying this, aren't we? That he's already naturally gifted us in a number of ways. We thought on this previously. We're all very different, aren't we? And one of the reasons we're different is because he's gifted us all differently. Each of us has unique natural gifts. So what we're saying just now is when he gives a spiritual gift, it's in wonderful accord with the way he's naturally gifted us as well. We see his wisdom in that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A gift he's given, the token, a proof of his goodness, is a proof of his wisdom. Now also this, we see his wisdom and goodness in this. In the exercise of each particular gift, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. Paul writes, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Isn't it interesting how he describes a gift there? You could almost take it as another title for gift. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. Wow. See the goodness of God in that? God works in us and through us in accord with that gift that he's given to us, so that the gift is called a manifestation of the Spirit. Another way to put it, a showing of the Spirit in that particular gift. So we say in every gift, we've made this point in some measure already, but in every gift there's a showing of the Spirit, so that every gift is exceedingly precious. Every gift. So we see the wisdom and goodness of God in this, brother and sister, don't we? God has given to each of us a gift, and in that exercise of the gift, there's this manifestation, this showing of the Spirit. But also this, we see his goodness and wisdom in his purpose to benefit all. Now that's very clear in the verse, isn't it? The gift given to each one, this manifestation of the Spirit, Paul writes, given to each one for the profit of all. So his purpose in giving the gift, a primary purpose in giving the gift is, yes, to benefit all, which is to say, his gift to one is a gift to all. Now that's unique. We said a moment ago, you know, we give gifts, but generally when we give a gift, it isn't a gift to everybody. It's just a gift to that person. Here's one of the limitations of being a creature, right? It's hard for us, impossible for us to think of giving a gift that's perfect for everyone at the same time. Think about that. Wow. So that gift given to my brother or sister is in fact a gift given to me as well. Given to me, we say it's given to me, it's given to you because it's a gift that benefits us. Yes, our God is good. Our God is wise. Look what he's done. He's given a gift to you whereby you can serve him, and through which you can serve your brothers and sisters. And in gifting your brothers and sisters, he's actually given many gifts to you. It's rather like Christmas, only much better. Everyone has received a gift. Everyone has received a perfect gift. And everyone benefits from every gift given. Isn't that amazing? A room full of gifts. And they're all given to all of us. This is better than Christmas, right? A room full of gifts. A church full of gifts. And Jesus says, in effect, they're all for you. The whole room. Isn't that sweet? Beautiful. And it's a token, we say, of God's goodness. Now, how else do we see God's goodness and wisdom in the giving of gifts? Well, we see his goodness and wisdom just in the array of gifts. And we can't say everything there is to say about this because the array of gifts is so great. Now, verses 8 to 10, Paul speaks of this. He gives something of a list of gifts. He cites just a few examples of the gifts that God has given. So we see again that he's authored this diversity among us. There's a wonderful diversity, and the purpose of this wonderful diversity is for love and service. This is why he's made us different. This is why he's gifted us differently. So he gives something of a list here. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Well, what's Paul's point here? Again, we understand. His point here is not to give he's not giving an exhaustive list of gifts. That's not his point here. His point really is to say a few things, but there's this array of gifts that God has given. He has given them, every one of them, through his Spirit, and there is this wonderful diversity whereby many needs are met and many blessings are provided. It's wonderful. Many needs are met. Many blessings are provided. So we say again, certainly not all the gifts that there are listed in this list or the other lists of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, a little bit later here, there's another list. Romans 12, 6 to 8, Ephesians 4, 11, 1 Peter 4, 11. There are a number of lists, but they're not exhaustive. Or we've said, you know, perhaps another way to think about it is you have sort of categories. But there's this many and varied texture, we think, that's intended by the whole thing. Many needs are met. Many blessings provided. Just a few samples here, the gifts God's given. Let's just walk through them for a moment. I'm not going to say a lot about them, just a little bit. The word of wisdom. He cites the word of wisdom. Well, apparently a special working of the Spirit whereby a message came to a Christian and it was then conveyed to the congregation or to an individual. Word of wisdom. Now, perhaps it pertains particularly to application to life. We think of that as compared with the one that follows the word of knowledge. Very similar, maybe only a shade of difference here. So perhaps the word of wisdom pertained more to the truth application to life, whereas this gift of word of knowledge pertained to some immediate insight into the Scriptures or the truth that had been revealed. Special working of the Spirit, special gift, whereby one had a sort of immediate insight with respect to wisdom or immediate insight with respect to knowledge and communicated that for the benefit of the church or for the benefit of his brother or sister, a wonderful gift. Now, what about the next one, faith? What's meant here? Gift of faith. Not saving faith, but faith to perform some extraordinary work or to trust God for some extraordinary work, not otherwise revealed or directed by the Scriptures or directed by some specific promise in the Scriptures. I think an easy example here, gift of faith, is George Mueller. And what you see in him, what you see or saw in his life, his ministry historically, a man of prayer. So again, we say there's a lot of overlap here between the gifts. There's a lot, there's shading, and it's hard to think of separating this gift of faith from prayer, isn't it? It's hard to think about separating a number of these from prayer. But wonderful gift, wonderful answers to prayer, wonderful faith we see evidenced, a gift to the church. Gifts of healings, Paul follows with here. So healing granted, we think particularly through prayer again. So you see prayer involved. Note the plural here as well. Now, there could be varieties of this gift that are in view. Gifts of healings. Does God still heal today? Does he? Oh, yes, he does. And how does he heal? In answer to prayer. Oh, yes. And does he? Is it conceivable that he gives some special gift with respect to praying for healing? I don't want to rule it out, brothers and sisters. All right? Because our God is a God who heals. So, gifts of healings, plural, varied varieties of within this gift, perhaps you'd say. Working of miracles, literally here, workings of powers. Again, a plural you have here. Workings of powers. In other words, various displays of divine power in answer to prayer. I think that's how we're to understand it. Various displays of divine power in answer to prayer. I mean, does God ever do anything extraordinary in answer to prayer? You don't want to say, not anymore. Oh, yes, he does. Extraordinary things. Yeah. Paul identifies it here as a particular gift. Prophecy, he speaks of here, by which we understand the reception and subsequent transmission of spontaneous, divinely originating revelation. So very closely related to preaching here, but having a unique character in the apostolic era, having a unique character before the time that New Testament canon was completed. The prophecy. Discerning of spirits. The ability to distinguish demonic spirits from the working of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty important. Discerning the work of demonic spirits from the working of the Holy Spirit. Again, probably very closely related to teaching, it would be, I think, this gift. That sort of discernment to identify that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of Satan. Takes discernment. Gift of God. Varieties of tongues, Paul speaks of here. The utterance of another language, not necessarily a known human language, but it bore cognitive content and it needed to be interpreted. And then the interpretation of tongues, the gift to interpret what had been uttered in tongues speaking. Now, a few more things we're going to say about this, but first this. The different ways have been suggested with respect to categorizing of the gifts. Maybe the simplest way to categorize the gifts, and again, they're not all listed here. The other lists we could look at, they're not all listed. Simple way to categorize them would be word gifts and faith gifts. That's one way that they've been categorized. Or maybe from this list in particular, say intellectual gifts, faith gifts, revelatory gifts. But no categorizing really works very well. Why is that? Well, again, because for a few reasons. But there's this apparent overlap throughout when you look at the lists of gifts. There's overlap. They're not precise separations. There's shading between various gifts. We're going to say something about this toward the end, of cautioning against pigeonholing with respect, a sort of pigeonholing of gifts. But we'll save that for application. Further, we need to say that some of the gifts have either ceased because they're not necessary anymore. We put tongues in its apostolic form particularly here. So some gifts have either ceased or they're now in a different form from their apostolic form. For instance, prophecy, we alluded to this a few minutes ago. Prophecy takes on a different form than it did in apostolic times since the New Testament canon has been completed. Also, we believe that tongues in their apostolic form have ceased. But again, our main point, what's Paul's main point? You have this wonderful, this amazing array of gifts God's given to his church. Many needs are thus met. Many blessings are conveyed. And we see the goodness of God and the wisdom of God in it. Now, finally, this. God's goodness and wisdom are seen in his design in unity in these gifts. By which we mean this. His giving of these gifts should unify us, not separate us. Why? Well, because the same Spirit is working in and through all of the gifts. Paul writes, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the same Spirit working in and through all the gifts, we want to think on that. That's a unifying feature. Spirit of God working in all of us. Spirit of God enabling us. Spirit of God gifting us for the sake of encouraging and serving one another. But also this, the same Spirit is the one who sovereignly distributes the gifts. That's Paul's emphasis, isn't it? The last part of that verse, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we don't have a choice. We didn't have a choice in how we're gifted. This is left to God in his wisdom, which is a good thing, isn't it? Because if we chose our own gifts, we'd undoubtedly make a mess of things. God is wise and good, and Spirit of God, in the distribution of gifts, sovereignly it comes by his hand. And we say this should humble all of us. And it should have a unifying effect. A bit like Paul says a little bit later. What do you have that you've not received? Everything I have, I've received. The gift I have, I've received from God. The gift that my brother or sister has, they've received it from God. And there's this humbling, proper humbling effect, I think. So none of us chose our spiritual gifts, and neither did we have a choice in how we're naturally gifted. All determined by God. We see a feature of his wisdom. And it should enable me to rejoice in those gifts that I see in my brother or sister. I should look at my brother or sister in the exercise of their gift and say, this is what God's given to him. This is what God gave to her. And this is a manifestation of the Spirit that I see in their service. A beautiful thing. So yes, we say if we view the gifts of God properly, we think on his goodness and wisdom in that it serves to unify us. Now, just some applications as we close. Some guidelines first. Because a natural question, at least for this reason, a natural question that comes is, how can I discern my spiritual gift? So I want to give a little bit of guidance on that. How can I discern my spiritual gift? And I give 3 points here. You see them in the outline or the notes. First of all, in this way, and maybe this is the most important point because that's really the emphasis you see in 1 Corinthians 12. It's an emphasis on service to my brothers and sisters. So, first, by a readiness to serve my brothers and sisters in any way that I can. That's a good start. A readiness to serve my brothers and sisters in any way that I can. A disposition to serve. So, a very important question here is, how am I presently serving my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I serving them? Am I thinking in terms of my brothers and sisters? And am I thinking in terms of serving them? Parents, are we teaching our children? Are we leading them in a disposition of service in the church? Which is to say, first, can they see our readiness to serve our brothers and sisters in any way that we can? Either we do that or we don't. And if we do it or we don't, our kids see it, right? My mom and dad, they really like serving in the church, you know. It looks like they're ready to serve in just about any way they might be called upon. That readiness to serve. So do our children see in us a disposition to serve, or just a disposition to be served? Now, to put it another way, are we vitally involved in the life of the church, its fellowship, or no? It's another way to put it. Because if I'm serving my brothers and sisters, I, of course, obviously, I need to be with them. But I was even thinking outside the church, I need to be mingling with them. I serve in various ways. Very important. That's a starting point, we say, in discerning how I'm gifted. Is there in me, in a lively way, is there that disposition to be serving my brothers and sisters in Christ? Got to start there. But secondly, this. By considering that service in which I find particular joy and delight. We're thinking about motivation here in some measure, aren't we? I mean, we say God's made us a particular way. He's gifted us a particular way. And when he gifts you a particular way, you find a particular delight in doing that, in serving in that way. You find a particular joy in serving in that way. You're motivated to serve in that way. Why? God's made you that way. He's gifted you that way. You say, I like doing this. I enjoy doing this. I mean, some things we enjoy more than others. Well, as we said, I mean, we should be willing to serve in a variety of ways, but we are motivated in some areas more than others, or in some ways more than others, because God has gifted us that way. So I should consider that service in which I find particular joy and delight. Also, number three, by considering my natural giftedness. I just about had said that a moment ago, but it fits together, doesn't it? How am I naturally gifted? Because my spiritual giftedness tends to fit hand in glove with that, the way I'm naturally gifted, because God is God and He's wise and He makes us the way He makes us. So consider that. Just some guidelines. But two cautions as we close. I alluded to this earlier. We need to beware of trying to pigeonhole the gifts. Okay, where am I in the list, right? Nope, not that one. Check. Nope, not that one. Not that one. Not that one. Oh, I don't know if I fit anywhere here. Well, you've been gifted. Maybe it's a shading. Maybe it's a combination of something that's your see. But we don't want to pigeonhole. We say the New Testament lists are not exhaustive. There's overlap with some gifts. There can be variations or shades of a particular gift. Consider again, too, each person is created in the image of God, entirely unique, one of a kind. Each person has a distinct spiritual gift, so that every spiritual gift and its expression in the life is entirely unique. So I don't want to pigeonhole the gifts. Finally, this. Beware of confining gifts and their exercise within the walls of the church. What do we mean? The exercise of the gifts of the body of Christ, they don't all take place within this building on a Sunday morning, all right? Thankfully, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. In many, many cases, the exercise of the gifts take place outside the walls of this building, and other than on a Sunday morning. So you want to think broadly when you think in terms of your service, when you think in terms of your gifts, or you don't want to think too narrowly. Well, I come in on a Lord's Day morning, I don't do too much. You know, there are many ways to serve. There's a host of gifts, and those gifts can be exercised, and in many cases are exercised not here, they're exercised somewhere else. Place of service out there. Sue was mentioning yesterday a woman from another OP church nearby who has a wonderful ministry in a local college. And she's done this for a number of years, and she conducts a class and uses it as an opportunity, in some measure, she uses it as an opportunity for introducing the gospel. And she loves to do that, and she's particularly fitted for it. See, that's something that takes place. You say, well, what's that? Is that like... is that the gift of evangelism? Something like that, I think. But uniquely fitted to the way God has made her. And it doesn't take place, it's not exercised really on a Sunday morning in the gathering of worship. It's out there. It's a wonderful thing. So we want to think broadly when we think in terms of the gifts. Is there in me a readiness to serve my brothers and sisters in any way that I can? Where is it that I find a particular joy in service? Am I understanding my natural giftedness? And think broadly, brothers and sisters. There are all kinds of ways God calls us to serve. And let's close that. Father, help us then. We pray you give us wisdom in this, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Father, that our service to him, for all of us, that it might be filled out. That we might, each of us, be serving one another. And so, Jesus glorified in it. So help us in it. How we thank you for the grace you've shown us in bringing us to yourself. Calling us to yourself to trust in Christ. And then gifting us that we might serve one another. We thank you for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.